Our scripture reading today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Creating God, we have been told since the beginning, you are the Lord of all that is and ever shall be. So remind us of your love as we hear your word. Open our eyes and our hearts that we may be strengthened for your service. Amen. Susie's husband had been in a coma for almost a week. Things looked grim, but she was by his bedside every single day. Finally, one morning, he began to regain consciousness and motioned for her to come close. She pulled her chair up next to the bed and leaned in to hear him. "You know," he whispered, his eyes filling with tears, "you've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you stuck right beside me. When my business went under, you were there. When we lost the house, you were there. When I was in that terrible accident, you were there. When my health began to fail, you were there. And you know what?" Sensing where this was going and smiling to herself, Susie squeezed her husband's hand and asked, "What is it, dear?" Her husband cocked open one eye and said, "I think you're bad luck." The Israelites couldn't be blamed for feeling the same. Isaiah 40 reflects a time when the nation of Judah had been conquered by an overwhelmingly superior Babylonian army. Jerusalem was under siege for a long time before it finally collapsed. The Babylonians leveled the city, making sure that every single wall of the precious Temple of Solomon was destroyed, because they knew that building was the heart and soul of the nation. Once that was taken care of, the Babylonians assembled all the leaders, politicians, priests, lawyers, educators, poets, business people, and marched them across the desert to Babylon, where they were held in captivity for 70 years. Historians refer to that period as the exile. The people lost their homes, their city, their temple. But most painful of all was the fear that they had lost their God, or worse, that God had lost or abandoned them. In other words, Isaiah is addressing people who know what despair feels like. I'm not sure it's always fair to twist biblical history to make it about us, but we've had a taste of that ourselves over this last year, and you don't need me to start listing all the reasons why. But Isaiah, who is in exile with many of those Israelites, dares to proclaim hope even in the midst of despair, telling the exiles that God is on the way to deliver them just when they begin to seriously doubt if God even exists. When I was younger, I used to admire people who had it all together. I was jealous of those Brady Bunch families and the happy girls with the perfect hair and skin and teeth and faith who never seemed to have anything wrong in their lives. Maybe part of growing up is figuring out that that's not reality for us or for anyone. Years ago, a friend told me that anyone who wouldn't admit to having some kind of world-altering crisis in their life was either deceived or dishonest. And the older I get, the more I realize he was right. Life isn't easy. In fact, it rarely is. I'd venture to say that At some point, most of us have had the slats knocked out from under us. Most, maybe all of us, live lives that have been broken in one way or another. Even God's people are not exempt from trouble. Sociologist Brené Brown refers to that as vulnerability, uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. But she goes on to say that vulnerability is not weakness. It's our most accurate measure of courage. Are we willing to show up and be seen when we can't control the outcome? That's what Isaiah challenges us to do, to show up and be seen when we can't control the outcome. Nobody ever wants to admit this, but I think it's fairly universal that the times we feel closest to God, the times we grow most in our faith, are not when we have no problems whatsoever. The times we are closest to God is when everything seems to have fallen apart. I read an article this week talking about the spirituality of imperfection. That phrase has stuck with me because maybe when we can admit that we're not perfect, that's when we have an opportunity to find ourselves in right relationship with God and one another. That's when we let God be God. And yet we're fed this constant message that brokenness is not okay. Put on a happy face. Put up a good front. Don't worry. Be happy. Be strong. Be the leader of the pack. Be the best and the brightest. Be an army of one. Never let them see you sweat. But as Anne Lamott puts it, perfection is the voice of the oppressor. Whether that be moral, spiritual, financial, physical, psychological, familial, vocational perfection, or anything else, when we have to be perfect, we don't get to be real. This morning, we are ordaining and installing new deacons and elders to serve New Providence. They'd want to be the first to tell you that they are not doing this because they are perfect. They have been called through you and by God because we believe that there is something in them worth following. And they dare to believe that somehow God might use the 5 loaves and 2 tiny fish of their own lives to make enough for everyone. Years ago, someone told me a story about how eagles teach their babies to fly. You'll often see eagles' nests up on the side of a cliff or high up, very, very high in a tree, safe from predators. That means that for the first few weeks of their lives, the babies, the eaglets, are completely dependent upon their parents to bring them food until they learn to hunt on their own. But in order to do that, the eaglets have to learn to fly. Sometimes they practice by spreading their wings and jumping from branch to branch, but sometimes the mother eagle will push the baby out of the nest and just let it fall. The eaglet will flap its wings wildly and may drop as much as 150 feet before the mother swoops down to catch the baby on her back and take it back to the nest. Then she'll do the same thing over and over and over until the baby learns to use its wings and fly for itself. You will rise up on wings of eagles, Isaiah says. And perhaps that eagle is God, who never has and never will abandon us, and in whose arms we are safe. Maybe there's the silver lining to this last year. Maybe God is teaching us to fly. It's not pretty, and it sure isn't easy. But I can assure you that God is right here with us in the midst of it. Let us pray. God of life, God of hope, God of all, lift us on your love like eagle's wings. Sustain us, guide us, heal us, and then send us forth into the world that we may love as you love. Amen.